Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He inspires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. But there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. 800-531-3815. Toll free coast to coast. And my website is www.jbsba.com. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. And this week's article, the feature article, is looking for answers in all the wrong places. And if you subscribe between now and, say, Sunday, you can still get that article. And so check it out when you get a chance at jbsba.com. Matthew Cartwright is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's one of the resident attorneys of our brain trust. In his day job, Matt is a partner with Munley and Cartwright. Matt, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Always good to be on the show.
It's good to be on the show. See, folks, our Brain Trust members can't wait. They're just chomping at the bits. They can't wait to get on the show and talk to you about what's going on in your world. Right, Matt?
That's it. And Jim, I'm looking forward to this morning because I know you're spoiling for a fight with a trial lawyer.
Exactly. Yep. And I'm almost out. I'm almost outnumbered, I think. Matt, one of the things that I wanted you to talk to us about today and is some of the things that are going on out there. There's an awful lot of class action litigation and a lot of predatory litigation going on out there. And how do we, folks, one of the things I like about Matt, he's a litigator, but he's also a reasonable guy. And I think he's a good steward of his profession. Matt, I think you are. I think you're a good steward of the legal profession, and you want to see high quality attached to your profession. But there are some people out there, there's some groups out there in your profession who I think are undermining the quality of your profession. What do you think?
Well, you know, there's no doubt about that. You know, I think we've said this before. I like you as a talk show host, but there's some doozies out there.
I'm a talk show host, but you love me anyway, right?
Well, there's bad ones out there that give you guys a bad name.
Yeah.
Same thing goes with the legal profession. And I think the whole key to the analysis of it is don't lose your head. Don't let the bad apples spoil the whole bunch. And don't shoot yourself in the foot, just to complete my mixed metaphor. Don't shoot yourself in the foot and destroy your own legal rights because you don't like the way some people out there are behaving in the civil justice system. I'm a trial lawyer. I'm proud to say it. I'm the guy the NFIB sends you in their newsletter every month you're supposed to hate. But I'm here to tell you that the protection of the right to a jury trial is the American small businessman's best friend.
You're right.
No matter what you read about, you know, you don't read about dog bites man. You read about man bites dog.
Right.
All of the sensible things that go on every day in every courtroom across America don't get reported. They don't make headlines.
Mm-hmm.
But when something goofy happens, like junk science goes on, we were going to talk about that a little bit. There's a common misperception that the courts are full of junk science, and that's because that's what makes the headlines. Headlines in the newspaper. Expert gets on the stand. Hello, my name is Dr. Wingnut. Based on my analysis of quantum physics, when the defendant negligently slammed the door, that caused the plaintiff to develop Haley dandruff, a condition from which he will be suffering for the rest of his life. I mean, yeah, that's the kind of garbage
that's
you read
right.
about.
That's right.
But I can tell you that courts are generally careful with scientific evidence. There's been an ebb and flow of that over the years. We can talk about that. I think right now we're in an ebb of scientific evidence. The courts are very, very careful right now, very skeptical of admitting scientific evidence. Since about 1980, I would say, there's been a swing toward being very skeptical of scientific evidence and throwing these pretenders out of court.
Well, there are a number of things that have happened, and I agree that along those lines, along the junk science line, and we'll get into that in a little bit. And I agree with you 100%. Nothing that I say or do I want to indicate that, you know, I mean, if we need to have a right redressed, I mean, a wrong redressed, I should say, then, you know, we want a good trial lawyer. We want somebody who can take us, can go to court with us and protect us and defend us and make sure that we're defended against some kind of a bad case that's been brought to us or to get our you know, recover something from somebody who's done something wrong to us. I understand that, and I think most small business owners do. It's some of the class action things that are going on that I'd like to talk to you about when we come back after these messages. That's Matthew Cartwright, ladies and gentlemen, who's our guest. We'll be right back. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Let me remind you, coming up in the show, in the hour straight ahead, Joe Rossman is a new friend. He's with the Association of Builders, Building Contractors. And we're going to talk about association health plans, why these make sense for the 21st century. And that's coming up in the first half of the next hour. And then after that, Steve Martin is our resident profit expert. He's going to help us improve the profitability of our small businesses. And that's all coming up in the next hour. We're continuing our visit with our good friend Matthew Cartwright. He's an attorney with Munley, Munley & Cartwright in out of beautiful Scranton. No, not Scranton, Pennsylvania. Is it Scranton? Is that where it is?
Well, Scranton, Wilkes-Barre. We cover all of northeastern Pennsylvania.
Yeah?
We have 7 offices.
Yeah, but where's the main office?
In Scranton, yes.
Okay, in Scranton. All right, I had it right then. All right. You want to give us a website, Matthew?
Sure. Our website is www.munley.com.
All right. And so, folks, if you want to go see what a really cool law firm's website looks like, check that out at munley.com. And what do we find when we get there? What does that look like there?
Well, it's a pretty comprehensive site. It shows you the full range of litigation services that we provide. I handle the business litigation, and I guess that's why you're talking to me instead of somebody else at the law firm. But we see all sorts of litigation, and we do all civil litigation, which means we're going to end up in the courtroom with injury cases, because that is where the action is, civil litigators. But also a lot of contract cases. We've done some fraud cases, antitrust. We've done some patent work. It's a pretty comprehensive website. I'm starting to do more and more arbitrations, NASD arbitrations, because talk about predatory conduct that you mentioned before. There's plenty of that in the stockbroker industry.
Yeah, and that's another show that we'll get into. In fact, another time when you join us, I want to talk about the antitrust issue, because that's something I'm very much interested in. But I want to get back to these predatory things. You know, when we look at the cases that were brought against the tobacco firms and the tobacco industry and how all those things rolled out and who actually benefited financially from the winning of those cases, did the victims get most of the money or did the attorneys get most of the money? That's a good question. Another one coming up are the asbestos cases that I'm hearing a lot more about these days. Matthew, I guess what kind of sticks in my craw a little bit is the fact that these cases are brought. They seem to be brought by a few firms who are in the business of finding these things out there and going out and finding plaintiffs so that they can have a plaintiff to sit in front of them in the courtroom. And when they get the judgment, you know, it seems that the law firms are getting most of the money. Am I wrong or right about that?
I think in a lot of cases in class actions, that's the nature of the beast, that the single biggest chunk of money from a successful class action does go to the prosecuting attorneys. That's because, by definition, a class action means a lot of people have a tiny little piece of it.
Mm-hmm.
So individual plaintiffs get, you know, might get a dollar, and but there's 6 million of them, and the lawyer handling the case, who's been working on it for 5, 6, 7 years, might get $6 million himself.
Mm-hmm.
In the case of the tobacco cases, obviously
that was
those mammoth amounts of money.
That was billions, wasn't it?
Sure. And, you know, again, it goes back to you don't revamp the whole system because there's some bad examples. I don't
but
think anybody
the,
in
the,
this... Pardon me?
What is a firm like yours and people like you who, I say, as I say, are good stewards of your profession... What do you guys do about those folks? Are you doing anything? Do you talk to those guys? Is there anything that you do to try to deal with those guys, or just leave them
alone?
Well,
you know that our preference is to represent one client at a time. I think you do a better job for people in that circumstance. When I'm representing a small business. I'm just sticking up for that small business. I can give them custom work. I can do a better job for them. And, you know, our attitude about the class actions is that we haven't done them. I did one class action that I tried in federal court in Scranton for about 250 linemen in a labor dispute. But other than that, we haven't done them. There's a place for them, though, Jim, because all of those people with tobacco cases and any kind of you know, stock loss, class action, none of those people would have a remedy at all, because if they came to me, and, you know, I like to represent individual cases,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be able to take that case because their case really only is worth, you know, maybe $100. It doesn't make financial sense for
right.
a person with a $100 loss. To hire an individual lawyer, so they need a class action.
But now aren't there kind of two kinds of class actions? One like the one you're talking about, where all these people came to you, and the other kind that I was talking about, where a law firm sees an opportunity and goes out and manufactures almost. That's probably not the right word to say, but they go out and they find plaintiffs.
Jim, you know I'm not going to give you an argument there. I think that. There have been abuses there. I have actually received over my fax machine requests from class action lawyers for shareholders in XYZ Corporation.
Hold that thought, Matt. I'll let you finish that when we come back after these messages. Stay with us, folks. It's Tintel. Back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our friend Matthew Cartwright, who's an attorney with Munley and Cartwright out of Scranton, Pennsylvania. And Matthew, you were giving us an example of how you've actually been polled. You've actually been approached by some of these class action law firms to try to get you to participate, haven't you? Matthew, are you there?
Shareholders in a particular company that they can make the name plaintiff in a class action because they've seen something go bad at that company. So it is, yeah, it's kind of stirring the muck up a little bit, and you see that from time to time. I think that's an abuse.
What did you when you got that fax where they sent you the request to see if you wanted to participate, if you had somebody that could participate? What did you do?
I filed it in the circular file.
Did you call them up and say, you know, shame on you or anything like that?
They're not going to change their practice because I think they should.
Yeah.
I should say this. There are abuses on both sides of class action. One thing I see a lot of is you'll see a class action settlement and all of, you know, 10 million people are entitled to $100, but they have to fill out certain forms and they have to make certain deadlines.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times you see these class action defendants imposing deadlines on people. If mom and pop at home miss a deadline, then they drop it and they can never hear from that company again.
Yeah.
So it's a, you know, it's a two-way street with class action.
What about the advertising thing? That's the thing that bugs me. I saw an advertisement once for a class action lawsuit, and part of the ad was, if you'd ever been, you know, if you've ever been discriminated against by this company, call us. And but then it went on to say, if you weren't discriminated against by this company because you didn't go down there, you didn't go ask for a job, but if you thought you thought about getting a job, but you didn't go because you thought you were going to be discriminated against, call us. Isn't that going too far?
We talked about this off camera, I guess I should say, a little bit. But the truth is that the law is that if somebody has engaged in pervasive discrimination, so that it would be a futile act even for somebody to go down and apply for employment, they would have a claim. Now, I know none of your listeners.
But how could you prove that they? I mean, this is long after the fact. How could you prove that they even ever thought about it? It's
right.
Only them saying it.
Well, again, that goes back to my original point. That's American business's best protection, and that's the American jury trial.
Mm-hmm.
Right to cross-examination. You get that person on the stand and bring home to the jury that this person never even applied for the job, the jury's going to get the point.
If you're a small business out there, Matthew, and in your community where you live, and you have a friend who owns a small business, and he said to you, or she said to you, Matt, what are the things that I can do to make sure that I stay out of court? I do try to do the right things. Where are the landmines out there that I could step into inadvertently, accidentally? What would you say?
The biggest legal threat to small business is not the threat of being sued by individuals. You'll be all right if you do three things, Jim. Number one, act reasonably. Number two, buy reasonable liability insurance. And number three, talk to your lawyer once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest legal threat to small businesses doesn't come from lawsuits from individuals. It comes from other businesses acting illegally in a way that can kill your company. Unfair trade practices, patent infringements,
mm-hmm.
contract interference, fraudulent conduct, antitrust violations, predatory conduct. That's the thing that should be keeping small business owners awake at night, not worrying about somebody slipping and falling and making an insurance claim.
So you're saying, he's turned it completely around on me here, folks. You're saying that it's the predatory businesses out there we should be worrying about, not the predatory attorneys, huh?
Yes, sir.
When did I lose control, madam? This is taking a nasty little turn here. This wasn't what I planned at all. Matthew Cartwright, thank you for being here. Boy, see, folks, these crafty attorneys, well, they can turn it around. Thanks, Matt. I enjoyed having you here today.
See you, Jim.
Matthew Cartwright, ladies and gentlemen, he's with Munley, and Cartwright out of Scranton, Pennsylvania. Their website is munley.com. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest entrepreneurial country in the world. And remember, when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.